Terry Huffmaster once told me that the definition of a good sermon was to have a good introduction and a great closing and keep them as close together as possible. Brother Al Fortenberry said he'd just like for me to preach one sermon at a time. You know, you can get a preacher can get an abundance of information and instruction about his sermons from elders and deacons. And most all of it is keep it short. I remember whenever I first started preaching, I thought, man, I really need to give these people their money's worth, you know. And so, I mean, I was preaching 45 minutes plus. And my own daddy came to me one day and said, son, he said, I think you'd do better with your sermons if you just stand up and speak up and shut up. So I kind of got the message, you know. One brother said that whenever he started preaching, he was the same way, you know, went to a small congregation and they had a clock, but it was on the wall up front where the congregation could see it. And after a few weeks of his preaching, somebody moved the clock to the back of the auditorium where he could see it. You know, there's something to be said for brevity, something to be said for keeping things short and concise and brief and using just as few words as possible. Sometimes less is more. And that's the reason why that this morning I want us to go to the shortest chapter in the Bible for our lesson. Psalms 117, which reads, praise the Lord, all nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his loving kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise ye the Lord. In that short chapter, there are some magnificent lessons for us to be learned. For example, first of all, we learn to praise the Lord. That's our part. Praise the Lord, laud him, exalt him, extol him, lift him to his rightful position as sovereign and everlasting. God is God alone, and God is worthy of our praise. So who do we praise? Well, Psalms 148, the passage that Matthew just read for us, tells us that we are to praise, the sun is to praise him, his angels, the stars of light, the highest heavens, the waters above the heavens. Let all praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Why? Because God is God. That's why he deserves our praise. That's why we give him our praise. Because he and his truths are what lasts. His decree, his truths, they'll never pass away. God indeed deserves our praise. And we get this mixed up sometimes. Because we get caught up in praising the things that we've done and accomplished in our life. But one thing about that is those things will pass away. Somebody will come along with a newer model. Our records will be broken. Our accomplishments will be surpassed. Somebody will come up with a better idea. Somebody will come up with a better solution. And those things that we get caught up in praising in this life, they just don't last. We praise God because God is eternal. And in praising God, we focus on those things which are eternal. It gets our minds off of ourselves and onto the God that that deserves our praise. When we look at Psalms 69, beginning with verse 30, we see here the psalmist says that everything speaks out and praises God's glory. It reads, I will praise the name of God with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox and a young bull with horns and hooves. The humble have seen it and are glad. Ye who seek God, let your heart revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise he who is a prisoner. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. The descendants of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell in it. This was a passage written to the children of Israel. God had promised them a land that flowed with milk and honey. And all he asked of them was that they praise and worship him. And our God has promised us a great land, a land that is more wonderful than words can tell. Streets who are made of gold, a life where there are no tears or no death or passing, a land where there is neither sun nor night, for the light of the Lord will light it. And does he ask any less of us than to praise and to worship him? In Psalms 103 it begins, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Praise God, because he is the one that is in control. Praise God, because he alone is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Praise God is our response to his eternal promises. But in the second place, the second thing we learn from this short little chapter of the Bible is we learn the passion of God. For his loving kindness is great toward us. His merciful kindness, the King James Version says. Another passage, another translation says, for great is his love toward us. Another says, praise him because the Lord loves you very much. And that is true. Loving his creation is the passion of God. And why? Because God is love. And he truly does love us, and has expressed it in a most loving way. He sent his son to die so that we might live. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 3 and verse 16. If you would... if you would condense the message of the whole Bible into one thought, into a few passages, I believe that it would be 1 John chapter 4. Beginning with verse 7, we would read, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God, who and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifest in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation or a payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, then God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love of God which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in God, the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. That's the message from Genesis to Revelation. God is love. Send his Son. You love one another. It's so simple, yet so profound. How do we miss it? And here it is. The object of our expression of praise and worship and obedience is to God, because his loving kindness is great toward us. And then finally, in this little chapter of the Bible, we learn yet another very, very important message and lesson. And that is that the truth of the Lord is everlasting. The truth of the Lord is everlasting. Our lives have to be based upon the truth of God. Because without truth, we are lost. Without truth, there is no tomorrow. There is no heaven. There is no forgiveness of our sin. There is no hope. And the truth of God is that he'll never forsake us or leave us. That he is our rock and our redeemer and our very, very present help in times of trouble. All of us have known relationships that have gone awry, that tore at our heart and ripped at our very soul. But to know that God will never forsake us, even the Master himself, while on this earth, was forsaken by those that were closest to him in his deepest and greatest hour of need. For those that have forsaken God, and who of us hadn't at some time? There's not a one of us really that this cannot be said about. Sometime in our life, we shut God out. The wise sage of old, Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 16, says, "I will pronounce my judgments on them concerning all of their wickedness, whereby they have forsaken me and have offered sacrifices to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands." Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him, speaking of Jesus the Son, who bore our sins and our transgressions so that he could redeem us and buy us back and bring us back to God. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, it says, The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Do we? Do we trust in God? Do we give him our heart and our soul and our mind through our obedience to him? The truth of the Lord is everlasting. And that truth reminds us that if we forsake him, he will forsake us. But if we will draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto us. And so this morning, from the shortest verse or chapter in the Bible, we learn three very great lessons. Praise the Lord God, because he is God. The passion of God is to love us so much that he would send his Son to die for us. And that his truth is everlasting. May God help each one of us to see in our lives what God sees. And if we have not obeyed his truth by believing it, repenting of our sins and confessing that he is the Christ, and being baptized for the remission of our sins, there is no greater way to praise God than to give our life to him. And if we have so wandered from his truths, his everlasting truths, may we find our way back home before it is too late. Will you come while together we stand and sing?